Hey, this is Heath Padgett, and welcome to the RV Entrepreneur Podcast, episode 153. The RV Entrepreneur is a podcast for anyone who's interested in downsizing their life, creating remote income, and working from anywhere. Recording today's episode from British Columbia, a little place called Logan Lake. You maybe have never heard of it, but fun fact, this is actually the first campground that I've ever actually booked online that is using our campground booking software that I started working on a couple years ago. I've talked about it several times on this podcast, but we're currently doing a big trip across Canada, visiting parks, taking photos, trying to update our campground listings for some of our partners, and today was the first time I've ever actually got to make a reservation using our own software, our own booking portal, and then show up at the campground, and the lady at the front desk didn't actually know who I was, and which was kind of cool because I got to see her, you know, checking me in using campground booking, which is the software they use to run their campground. And just to be able to see that in person was really cool because we spent, you know, a couple of years working on this thing, and, you know, you talk to people on the phone, you do demos, and you obviously see the software every day. But to actually see it in use and all of that was really, really cool. So today I'll be up there in the front office getting some feedback and hearing from customers. So it's always cool to meet customers in person and get to talk with them. But today is the second episode in the Side Hustle series I'm doing. And I'm talking with Kim. I asked a lot of people in our Facebook group if they had any interesting side hustles, and Kim posted and says that she gets paid to go drink wine and go to breweries and things like that and craft cool stories from them. And I thought that sounds like an awesome side hustle that fits really well for travelers. So I wanted to dig into that and talk a little bit about how she was able to find a paid freelance writing gig, even though that wasn't her background, and actually land that and expand on it and actually get more client projects from that. But before getting into her story, I just want to share a bit of my own perspective on finding freelance writing gigs. This is something I know a lot of people want to try to do from the road, and it's obviously a great entry gig if you've never been paid to do anything. But before getting into Kim's story, I just want to share a bit of my own perspective on finding freelance writing gigs from the road. Alyssa and I have written for a lot of different companies. It's not really a big part of what we do now just because we have other projects that have taken up our time, but it was the earliest income that we actually made outside of our jobs when we started traveling. It was our first paid gigs, and that kind of led to more opportunities. But before getting into Kim's story, I just want to share a bit of my own perspective on how to find and then reach out to companies so you can potentially write for them. First of all, why do you want to write for other companies? Why would you want to write for other companies? I think there's a few different reasons why. One, if you want to, if you just enjoy writing. Another good reason is that you can do it from anywhere. It's a paid gig that you can do from wherever your RV is or wherever your Airbnb is. Another reason is that it helps to establish street cred. So if you're trying to pitch your consulting services or your product, writing in your for industry magazines or industry blogs or whatever can help boost, you know, your street credibility. And also it's just a bit of extra income on a topic that you're already interested in. We've written a ton of articles about RVing. It's a topic we love. We write about it anyway. So if we can spend, you know, 3, 4 hours, 5 hours writing a blog for another company and get paid well for it, that's great. All right, how do you actually find companies who will pay you to write for them? First, just work on being a good writer. If you haven't actually spent a lot of time working on honing your craft of writing, I would start there, because even if you land a gig, it's not going to do you any good because you haven't actually spent time being a writer. So you may write an entry article for them, but if your writing sucks, they're not going to ask you to come back and be a repeat writer for them. After you've worked on actually honing the skills of being a writer, start your own blog, come up with your own work that you can point back towards, because it's hard to pitch somebody on writing for them if you don't have any work that you can show. Even just sharing Google Docs that you've written or whatever is not the same as actually pointing back to your own work, because you can see how your work flows, how you've done editing, what your photos look like. Also work on becoming a better photographer. When we landed our first decent writing gig for Winnebago early on when we were traveling, one of the first things they told me was that my photography sucked really bad, and that if I wanted to continue writing for them, I needed to learn how to take better photos. Like, they were dark, they were on the iPhone, I took way too many vertical photos. The point being, just investing in a small point-and-shoot Canon camera, we have the G7X, was really helpful in boosting our photography game. So if you want to be a good writer, you also need to be able to take decent photos so you can come with not just your words, but also your photos. After you've done those two things, come up with a list of relevant companies in your industry. Just come up with a massive list of blogs that you could potentially be interested in writing for. And then just spend a while reading their articles and just leave some thoughtful comments, engage with them, kind of build a relationship with them. Chances are most companies aren't getting crazy, crazy, crazy amounts of comments on blogs. And if they are, that's okay. That's even more reason that you need to spend time engaging with them. The point is, during this process, you need to build some kind of rapport with this website. Most of the time, people just reach out cold and they have absolutely no rapport with the person they're reaching out to, and the company's like, I don't know who you are, I'm not going to say yes to you. But if you've actually spent a month, 2 months, as long as you can, just building a relationship with somebody, it's no longer cold outreach and it's so much more meaningful. So your first time you talk to them isn't actually asking for something, but you've actually been adding a lot of value to them. You've been sharing their content, you've been commenting and engaging. And so when the time comes for you to reach out and say, hey, can I write a blog for you? They actually know your name. They've seen it a lot. They're like, oh, this person always responds to our posts on Twitter. They're always coming on our blogs. I see them all the time. This is probably the one thing that if you did nothing else right, if you did this, you could still be successful, just because so few people actually do this. 99% of the time, people just reach out, expect to get right to the person and make their request, and they get ignored just because they haven't spent time building the relationship, building that foundation. You can't just expect to like jump straight to the finish line. So I would say this is a really crucial part. Find a way to provide value for them before making a request. So after engaging with them a little while, find the editor of the blog or the website or search LinkedIn so you can reach out to them. Identify your pitch, kind of what makes you different. They've written a lot of different articles on their website. How are you going to come in and provide something else that is different? For example, after Alyssa and I finished our first year on the road, we had all of our expenses documented meticulously. So we knew exactly how much it cost for us to travel to all 50 states. This was kind of an interesting article because a lot of people want to travel to all 50 states. And so when I did a big outreach to a lot of different RV companies back in the day, I just said, hey, I've got all of these expenses. I can kind of break it down and share how much it costs to travel to all 50 states. And a lot of people said yes, pretty much anyone I asked, because that was something that was super relevant. It was kind of an interesting pitch. Now, that's probably not as much of an interesting pitch because there's a ton of RV content creators out there who have written a billion articles on the cost of RVing. So, but back then, it was kind of a different, unique take on something that they didn't have. So finding that unique pitch is also something that you want to do during this time. So when you reach out to them, keep it short. Say, you know, maybe mention how much you've been enjoying their articles and say why you want to write for them. I think that's really important as well. I want to write for you because XYZ. Because I love your content. I think you guys are edgy. Y'all post amazing photos. Because I love your shoes, whatever that is. Make sure to say why you want to write for them. And after you do that, rinse and repeat. I would say, obviously, there's a lot of different ways to kind of slice the way you can reach out and find freelance writing gigs. But all of those have worked really, really well for us in the past. Just being thoughtful in your reaching out, spending time to actually become a good content creator yourself. And one of the biggest perks of writing freelance articles for companies has just been that it's opened up the door for a lot more client opportunities. You provide value through an article, and that's kind of like a low risk opportunity to build a relationship with this company. And then you have other services that you can attach onto that. For us, it's been video. So they hire us for a blog, then we do a video project for them, and then maybe they hire us for consulting or they're a sponsor for a conference. And so it's just kind of a good way to level up if you have a service-based business and kind of get your foot in the door and show that you do good work, they like working with you, and then it opens up the door for a lot more opportunities down the road. Before jumping into Kim's episode, just want to say thanks to Stories from the Road podcast for providing support for this episode. One of my favorite parts of RVing is sitting down with other people and sharing the stories, the good, the bad, and the hilarious. The Stories from the Road podcast talks to RVers from all walks of life about what led them to the RV lifestyle, the things they like, the things they didn't like, and where they see themselves going in the future. The conversations are heartfelt and funny, and if you're any kind of RVer yourself, and you probably are since you listen to this podcast, you'll identify with a lot of what you hear. That's Stories from the Road podcast, and it's available on iTunes, Spotify, the Google Play Store, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. All right, let's get into today's episode with Kim. Kim, good morning. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Good morning, Heath. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Where are you guys currently at right now?
We are currently parked in Cape Cod for the month.
So I posted in our Facebook group like a couple months ago, and I asked if anybody had any interesting side hustles that they're doing from the road. Because for a long time, when I brought people on the podcast, I wanted to make sure that this was what their business was. They were doing it like their full-time income kind of thing. So I really haven't showcased a lot of other ways to make money. And your answer whenever I asked, like, what are interesting side hustles, stuck out to me the most. And I think the most people liked it. And it was a really good sales pitch on your part, which was, I get paid to go to wineries and craft breweries and drink. I think it was something like that, right?
That is correct. Not only drink, but write stories about the experience.
Exactly. I mean, you're not just coming in there and just drinking a ton and then just asking them, you know, here, that'll be $500. Thank you for pouring my wine. So I guess let's start real quick into how you came on the whole RV lifestyle, and then we'll kind of transition into talking about how you kind of got this gig that now helps pay the bills while you're on the road. You guys became full-time RVers earlier this year. How did you start thinking about this lifestyle, and what were you doing before this?
Well, before becoming full-time RVers this spring, I had clients for sales strategy and marketing. I had been self-employed for a little over 20 years. And meanwhile, my husband had been in the software development industry with one company for over 20 years. It was actually my husband Bill's idea to start researching full-time RVing. And I'll be honest with you, one of the things he did was introduce me to the RV Entrepreneur podcast. And we started listening to those together, watching YouTube videos together. And then, you know, I kept it in the back of my mind. But one day on a lunch break, I went over to a local RV dealer and actually saw a couple RVs that I liked. Shortly then we purchased one of those and did some trial runs. We went to Florida, then we went up to Maine, and we really decided that it was something that we could do and would enjoy doing, and jumped in with both feet.
So you didn't actually like go out on your lunch break one day and then just randomly buy it without husband's consent, did you?
Well, I kind of talked to a sales rep and told him that's the one that I wanted.
Okay.
Which to my husband's relief, it was a 19-foot one and not something outrageous that I had picked out. Yeah, I had to take my husband back around there to make sure that our Ford van would actually pull what I picked out. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So that was the green light for my husband that we were going to jump in. And we certainly did. Soon after that, we listed our house. We got rid of 90% of our belongings. Meanwhile, I had started writing my first book, which is Conquer the Trend Wave, and I needed an editor. And actually, through RV Entrepreneur, the Facebook page, I met Sonia with The Intentional Marketer. So it just so happens that Sonia said, I have a friend who is rebranding Dine, Wine, and Stein magazine in Virginia. Would you like to speak to him? Because some of my past was in the craft beverage market. So I met the owner of Dine, Wine, and Stein magazine and convinced him to let me write a travel page. So that's how it all started. You never know when a connection's going to turn into your side gig.
So what were you guys thinking? Were you planning to transition some of your existing clients and just continue working with them on the road? Or did you guys know what work was going to look like as you started RVing?
Well, my husband was lucky that his long-term employer was game for the idea for him to travel to their different offices across the United States. So that was easy to convince them. I decided to make a list of everything that I had done for clients in the past and kind of match that up to my passions, writing, photography, craft beverage, and farm-to-table foods. And so I had a list in mind of things that I wanted to pitch once we got on the road. And then this opportunity kind of snuck up behind me and tapped me on the shoulder. I was prepared to pitch how I could do the travel story from the road and how I could work remotely to provide the magazine with content.
Had you ever been paid to write articles in the past, or was that just something that you wanted to do and it was kind of a passion?
Had never been paid to write articles in the past. My specialty was writing business development plans for cideries, breweries, product to market business development plans. So my past experience in that market was teaching my clients how to give that customer experience when the customers would arrive at their tasting rooms. So I kind of turned that around and said, you know, now I'm the customer going to the tasting room and I want to write about my experience.
Gotcha. So you had a little bit of experience in the area, but not necessarily in writing articles. And because you had written a book and you were just out there networking, talking to people, you happened to come across somebody who was in this industry and looking for people to go visit locations and write stories for their Wine and Dine magazine.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how did that conversation kind of go as far as like they wanted you to write a story? And was it like a test story? And did they just throw out a number for how much like they're willing to pay for an article? How did that go?
So I put skin in the game and I did a proposal to Dine Wine and Stein magazine. And I said, you know, give me a try. I will write one travel story and you don't even have to pay me very much. And let's see how it goes. So I was willing to work for a very low amount to start. That's just a suggestion on how to get a side gig going.
Just for context, for like a travel story where you're going to visit a winery and a brewery, like what would be a number to just get started as far as like writing your first article?
I was paid $100. And of course, the cost of some of my beverages at the location. And that got me started. That got me into a future contract. So I wrote a story about visiting Brevard, North Carolina, which is in Western North Carolina, going on a waterfall tour, waterfall and wines tour. That was the first story that was published. And since then, I've written several travel stories as well as interviews with brewmasters, cideries, business development personnel at the different stops. So I've really expanded beyond just a travel page.
Yeah, you were talking about that. So I guess I know we kind of glossed over that a little bit, but you started with one story and I guess they liked it. And they're like, you can write some more, Kim, because you do a good job. We want to hear you more in the magazine. And then you decided that you wanted to interview, not just taste, you know, go taste a great wine, but actually interview the owner of the company and talk about how was it made? What's your story? How did you get this, you know, this winery or this vineyard going? And just kind of talk about those different parts of the business. So you pitch them on, hey, I can do more than just this travel story. I can do something else too, which, you know, maybe doubled the income that you were getting paid as from the side hustle.
Correct. You know, in my past with being a business development consultant, I would interview a lot of business owners, people that were launching their product. I would interview them. So use those interview skills to interview for a magazine article and, you know, keeping it under 1500 words, but asking the questions that the readers want to hear about. You know, what inspired you to start your own brewery? What inspired you to take your made in Virginia product national? So started asking the entrepreneurs in the marketplace those questions, and readers of the magazine responded. You know, a lot of the stories were not just in print. They were actually placed into social media as digital links. And, you know, you can track the response. The stories got positive response. And so I just continued to propose to Dine Wine and Stein magazine additional stories that I could write.
Totally. So if somebody's listening and they want to go out and pitch a company in their own industry, they want to try out kind of what you're doing, what would you say is like a decent market rate for writing a story? I know at least in the RV industry, like the higher end articles, you know, you can write for companies anywhere from like $250 to a good bit more than that. That's like, I guess, a higher end, like once you've been writing a while and established credibility. So in the microbrewery industry, like, is that a similar rate? Is it even more than that? Just so people have an idea of like, what can you actually make doing something like this?
The $250 rate is very much in line for the magazines or publications that focus on the craft beverage industry. You have to keep in mind that you have to get started someplace. So go ahead and propose to write a magazine article or a digital article in the space that you have experience and get your portfolio going. Offer to do some social media posts. Keep that as your portfolio, and then you can increase your contracts for publications.
How many wineries or craft breweries have you now been to write stories?
Quite a few, Heath.
Yeah, and I think, like, this might be a stupid, straightforward question, but, like, you're having a good time going, I would assume you're having a pretty good time, like you're traveling and you're going to breweries and drinking and doing something that you enjoy. Like, that's a fun day, and you're getting to write something else that you enjoy and doing it from the road.
Correct. Normally, when we park somewhere, we're there for at least 2 weeks. I turn over stones. I don't necessarily write about every place that I visit, but I look for the unique spin. You know, right now we're parked in Cape Cod, and I'm working on a story that will cover several cideries, at least showcasing for the fall, a cranberry cider. So I really like to turn over rocks and look for unique stories. So that might mean visiting several places, but really narrowing it down to including two or three in a story.
No, I love that. And that totally makes sense. And I do the same thing for every podcast episode, is I try to write down, like, what's interesting about the story to me. Because when you chase that curiosity, you can kind of go in and tell a really good story. Kim, thank you so much for coming on and sharing about how you're able to go out and now drink wine and go to microbreweries and get paid to write for them. I guess any parting thoughts or ideas that you might have to share with other people on how they can get started with this and something helpful that you've learned?
With looking for a side gig while you're a full-time RVer, you know, sit down and make a list of things that you've enjoyed in your career in the past and figure out how to pitch them in the full-time mobile environment and how you can accomplish those tasks. Just put your foot in the water and make proposals, and someone will say yes. And just keep your ears open for, that opportunity that's going to tap you on the shoulder. Be prepared to pitch your services.
Where's a good place for people to connect with you online, Kim?
A good place to connect with me is actually on Facebook, Experience Back Roads. I do post travel pictures on Experience Back Roads or Dine, Wine, and Stein also on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kim, for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for inviting me. I've enjoyed this.
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning into that episode with Kim. If you want to check out the show notes, go to heathandalyssa.com and click on podcast. As always, thank you guys so much for listening to The RV Entrepreneur. And if you want to leave a review in iTunes, that would be amazing. Each one goes a really long way in helping more people find the show and listen. And they mean a lot. I'll see you guys next week on The RV Entrepreneur podcast. We'll be right back.